Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher, a special broadcast from the 2018 Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. This year also marks the 100th anniversary of the Harlem Renaissance, that period during the 1920s when social change intersected with an eruption of literature, fine arts, and music in the Harlem neighborhood of Manhattan. We're going to hear from a few of the chief collaborators on a citywide year-long celebration of the anniversary here in Columbus. First, we hear from the president and CEO of the Greater Columbus Arts Council, which brings us the festival every year, Tom Katzenmeyer. Welcome back, Tom.
Thanks for having me. You know how much I look forward to this every year.
I know. And we were just saying, at least there aren't thunderheads in the distance either.
There are not at all.
It's very nice. It's pleasant.
The air's moving.
Yeah, the air. There's breeze.
Yes.
There's nice warm temperatures and a lot of fabulous art performing.
Absolutely.
and visual.
So we have 270 artists down here. We have six stages basically going at all times. We have two blockbuster shows, one at 9 p.m. tonight and one at 9 p.m. tomorrow night on the Bicentennial stage. We have some new shade features over there so people can sit in the shade and listen to the music. It's going to be a great weekend.
This venue, when you talk to your counterparts in other cities who do similar kinds of festivals, how does this venue stack up now?
We have the best venue in the United States for an arts festival. I'm just telling you. And I've been and I've been to a lot of them. I went to one in Florida in February this year. We got everybody beat because of the geography of these bridges and the attractions that are down here and how you can circulate on both bridges and pass every stage, pass every beer tent that we have. And
everybody's happy.
Yeah, everybody's happy when that happens.
And just visually, there's so much interest down here.
Since this river was redone, and I thank Guy Worley and his team for that and all the corporate folks that supported it and the mayor and et cetera, it is amazing geography to have a big event. Largely, a lot of the other festivals have moved down here, too. So Pride will be down here. The parade finishes here next Saturday. Jazz Ribs, Red, White, and Boom, Festival Latino, on and on and on.
Lots of stuff happening. You know, we were at the Harmony Project concert last night at the Commons.
How great is that, what they're doing for this city? They had a record crowd. They've never had
6,000
people watch them. And it was a free event.
Yeah.
Just like this event is a free event. So we're providing a lot of access for everyone in Columbus. And what an incredibly talented, creative group of people led by our good friend David Brown.
In this day and age, how do you keep the vibe upbeat with just all of the kind of existential threats out there it feels like people are dealing with?
You know what it starts with? It starts with the artists. And I'll tell you, they are very active in Columbus. We just had a little new street festival last weekend over by the Roosevelt Coffee Shop that was dreamed up by Blockford, a group of artists that are working as a collective over there. It was called Alley Islands, and they painted on the buildings over there. They had a very special exhibition going on all day Saturday, 12-hour event, beer, food, outdoor art sales. They came up with that idea on their own. We funded it. We gave it a little bit of money to get it going, and that's where it happens. It happens with the artists. The artists are very involved. It's the underpinning of the creative economy here in Columbus.
We were talking about corporate sponsorship of the arts earlier, and they made the point, my guests, that, yeah, they funnel the money to organizations like yours that then kind of get down at that kind of, get more granular as far as how the money is doled out.
We could not do this without the corporate support that we get. The festival is a great example of that. This is a million-dollar event. Half of the money is from corporations that are sponsoring it. So you had two of them sitting at the table here, PNC and Bank of America. But this is the first time we've had Bank of America. I salute them for that. AEP is our lead sponsor. They're the presenting sponsor of this festival. They did a three-year sponsorship with us on that. We could not do it without them. And then we have other income from selling beer, drinks, frozen drinks, which are very good.
There's a frozen shark drink.
There's a frozen shark drink, absolutely.
A frosé. It's all here.
But the corporate support is very important, not just for the festival, but for every other arts institution in Columbus, from Franklin Park to the ballet to the opera. You're going to have Nanette on next. Great corporate support there, too.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We are broadcasting from the Greater Columbus Arts Council's 2018 Columbus Art Festival right down here on the river. For more information about where we are, because I'd love you to come down and say hi, check out the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. But if you just want to listen, we're at Ridge Street and Civic Center Drive. My guest right now is Tom Katzenmeyer. He's president and CEO of the Greater Columbus Arts Council. If you have a question or comment about the festival, he is the guy to ask. So I have him for about 10 more minutes. Don't hesitate. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. The Greater Columbus Arts Council awarded $3.4 million to 25 arts organizations in Columbus recently. Tell us about that. 25 arts organizations. There's a lot more than that.
We actually fund a lot more than that. So that
I know,
is
this
our,
was a particular thing, yeah.
That's a particular category. It's called operating support, which is unencumbered money that we give them to operate on. It's largely for our larger organizations, but there are also some small budget organizations in there. So there's 25 in that pool. In total, though, we fund 68 arts organizations last year. We fund for projects that they've done, boost grants that we give out. And we funded probably 250 artists, give or take, last year. So they are also eligible for supply grants, professional development grants, travel grants, and they really take advantage of that. And that's a category we want to do more and more with over time. So we're getting all the money out into the community through those grant programs.
You know, you see the tweets, you see the posts on Facebook and that when people get those grants, it's an artist, it's an individual, it's a real human being.
It is. They are amazingly grateful to us for that. And it does my heart well to read all those social media posts when they're doing it. And a lot of them are, you know, they travel on our grants, and so we hear from them when they're overseas. There's been a number of artists in Havana this year that we've underwritten the cost of that. Havana, Cuba.
Yep.
Uh-huh. We have an artist here right now from Dresden, Germany, who is with us for 2 months. We have an exchange program with Dresden. Every year we send two Columbus artists there, and two artists from Dresden come here and work, and we pay all their expenses for that.
You said 270 artists are exhibiting
here
at the festival this year. How many apply? I mean, what's the competition to get here?
This is a great story. It's very competitive because of our geography and because we have this wonderful weather. The artists generally have good sales here, so we had 1,000 artists apply. We go through a process in February. We have a jury, a professional jury, that we compensate that narrows it down to 270 artists for us. About 20% of them are from Ohio or are local emerging artists. We have a group of about 15 local emerging artists. This is the first time they've been at a festival like this. And we take them through a boot camp. It's an artist boot camp that we take them through during the winter. We show them how to market themselves. We teach them how to do this. And this is their first time at a festival, and they love it. That's also very competitive to get into that program, too.
How do you decide on 270 slots?
It's not easy. So we have professionals.
Why not 280 or 275?
Well, we kind of have landed at what the right number is.
Okay.
There's really not room for 350 down here. So around 300 is the right number. If it's too crowded, it also makes it maybe too competitive for some of the artists, too, if there's too many people down here. Mm-hmm. So 270, 300 is about the exact right number. And it's a variety of disciplines.
Right.
So the jurors are mindful of that, too. So it's jewelry, photography, sculpture, painting, fabric art, pottery, all those kinds of things. So,
are there trends? Do things come and go in popularity?
There are definitely trends in art, absolutely.
Why do you laugh?
You're just making me laugh. Somebody asked me also on the radio the other day, what about hemp? Is there going to be hemp art down here?
Uh-huh.
And there is fabric art.
Yeah.
I don't think hemp is necessarily a trend right now.
It's a fiber.
It's a fiber. Yeah, it's a fiber. But I think I was asked that because that was the day that the locations of the dispensaries were being announced. So I'm not declaring that hemp is a trend in art right now.
Let's talk about the Harlem Renaissance Project and how it fits into all of this. There's going to be a booth here at the festival talking just about this. Tell us about what your role in that is.
This is such a great Columbus story. So it's the 100th anniversary this year of the Harlem Renaissance. One person had an idea about this, and it's actually your next guest, Nanette Macy-Jones, who then called Larry James, who is also your next guest, and he called Will Haygood, and
the acclaimed author that's from
Columbus. He's got a book coming out this fall. He's curating. He's helping Nanette curate.
He always has a book coming out. The guy is prolific.
This one's called Tigerland, and it's a story about East High School, 50th anniversary of something that happened there, and Larry will talk about that. So these two hatched this idea with Will Haygood. They drag us into it, which we do willingly. This is such a city of collaboration, as you know.
Yeah.
And we're helping to keep it organized, but there are now, I think, 35 arts organizations that are doing programming around it, and there's more than 150 artists that are engaged in it and that are getting compensated for their work on this project. We have them involved in the Word is Art stage here this year, so there will be spoken word art involving the Harlem Renaissance.
Why the Harlem Renaissance in Columbus, Ohio?
Believe it or not, there was an incredible influence from the artists in New York that traveled to Columbus to perform, stay here over time, and it just had a remarkable impact, largely on the Near East Side, but really on the whole city. And it's so appropriate that we're doing this. And I think we're the only city in the United States that I know of, believe it or not, that's celebrating the birth of this 100 years ago.
100 years ago.
Yeah. 1918.
What? Tell us what is going to be happening tonight. You said the Blockbuster shows. I want to hear about that.
Yes. The Blockbuster show tonight is Postmodern Jukebox.
Postmodern Jukebox.
Box. Yes.
Okay.
Who do interpretations of classic hits in sort of a lounge interpretation. And
so that's dance?
People will be dancing, definitely. You'll know every song that's being performed.
Yay.
And they travel all over the country. They've been to Columbus before. I think we're going to have a great crowd down there for tonight. And tomorrow night, it's G Love and Special Sauce. That's a band that's been, you're looking at me quizzically about that. Anne, are you not familiar with them?
Do tell.
Do tell. It's a band that's about 25 years old. They have a new album out, of course, right now. People in the area are very familiar with a very popular band from the 90s. I would describe it as backyard blues. So that's
fun.
Saturday night at 9. We'll go from 9 till 10:30, 11. The beer trucks will be here.
Mm-hmm. The food trucks.
The food trucks will be here. All kinds of stuff.
How many people are you expecting this weekend?
If this weather holds up, we could approach 450,000 people over a three-day period. And we just opened at 11 a.m. And you can see there's already good traffic walking by us.
Oh, yeah. We didn't get a marching band this year.
We didn't
What's
get a marching
deal?
Band this year. What's of the course, 57th there's anniversary?
There's still time.
Okay. There's still time, yes. Yes. We did that when it was the 55th anniversary. So maybe when we get to 60, we'll have
a
marching band.
Were you with me when that marching band went by?
Yes, I think so, yes. Yes.
That was pretty funny.
Yes.
Okay, we're just going to stay quiet now while the marching band goes by because we can't talk. And also, as far as when people come down here, maybe people have never been here before. They were to the park. It's good to take the bus in if you can.
There's so many ways to get
bring
here.
Bring your pets?
Yeah, no. We really discourage people from bringing their dogs.
Yeah.
It is very hot here.
Right.
We are on pavement. We're on concrete. There's not really any water around for the dogs, and we really discourage that.
Mm-hmm.
I would emphasize that five times.
But young children.
Yeah. Young children we love. Mm-hmm. We have a great hands-on activity center that's new in a new location. Over by Kosai, where a new park was dedicated yesterday. It's the nicest children's park in the city. It's called Dorian Green. It's named after Mr.
Hugh Dorian. All right.
And so we have a scavenger hunt over there, multiple interactive things for the kids Kids of all ages should go over there.
Yes. And also, I've always liked the local artist tent. I can't remember what you call it, what it is.
I think
but
that's what it's called, local arts.
Yes, oh, okay, yes. There you go.
Local arts.
Crazy.
That's also right in front of Kosai over there.
That was relatively new. Yep. It's only been maybe 5 or 6 years
that
you've been doing that.
Very affordable pieces for people done by local artists.
Right.
And active demonstrations. So there's like a blacksmith over there, things like that. Yeah.
Well, Tom Katzenmeyer, have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me. It's fun to be with you.
It's always good to see you. Tom Katzenmeyer, right. President and CEO of the Greater Columbus Arts Council, which puts on the Columbus Arts Festival every year. We are broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. Our booth is located near the intersection of Rich Street and Civic Center Drive, right by Bicentennial Park. For more information about the festival, check out the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We are going to drill down into that Renaissance, the Harlem Renaissance story with a couple of folks who put it together. So stay with us, and if you have questions or comments, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. This is a special live broadcast from the 2018 Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. 2018 also marks the 100th anniversary of the Harlem Renaissance, that cultural revolution that saw the intersection of social change and art creation, literature during the 1920s in the Manhattan neighborhood of Harlem. Several Columbus arts organizations have collaborated to celebrate that period. The year-long celebration will include I, Too, Sing America, the Harlem Renaissance at 100 at the Columbus Museum of Art. Check out the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides for more on that. But joining us now is partner at Crabb, Brown & James Law Firm and president of the King Arcs Complex in Columbus, Larry James. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I just one correction. I was president of the King Arts Complex for 16 years. I have now been president of the Lincoln Theater for 9 years.
I apologize.
That's perfectly all right. I get a plug for both of them. They're both located in the district.
All righty. And also with us is executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art, Nanette Macy-Junes. Welcome back, Nanette.
Well, it's good to be here, Ann.
All right. So how did this happen? Tom Katzenmeyer just told me that Columbus might be the only city in the country that's having this sort of a celebration. So why Columbus?
Because we were the smart ones to do it.
Yeah. Yay, you.
Why don't you start out, Nanette, sitting in the audience?
Well, it is a great story. So when Will Haygood, who is from Columbus, Ohio, the great writer Will Haygood, was here, he convinced C-SPAN to roll out the rollout of his Thurgood Marshall biography took place in Columbus at the Lincoln Theater. We're all there. I was sitting next to Will's cousin, and I didn't even realize it for a while. But the whole evening, we kept realizing that he kept touching on everything that Will's ever written touches on the Harlem Renaissance. Keeps rolling back into it. But
he's always got a historical thread to it,
but he never really worked on the Harlem Renaissance. He later tells me he wrote a really early article when he was a very young journalist. But he said, that's the only time I've written directly. So I got this idea driving back to the museum after the event, and I was having breakfast with Bill Connor, the late Bill Connor, who was head of Kappa then, in the morning at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I have this idea. Why don't we ask Will Haygood to curate an exhibition on the Harlem Renaissance for Columbus? And Bill takes his cell phone, throws it on the breakfast table, said, we have to call Larry. And so Bill is like dialing up Larry, and Larry wisely doesn't pick up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I was going to say.
But he got the message, and it all went from there. And Larry and Bill turned a small idea that I had about an exhibition at the museum into a community-wide celebration. And it was Larry that invited Will to do it.
That's because that's the way Columbus rolls.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you take it from an event like an exhibit at the museum into something so much bigger?
Well, I think that Tom, Nanette, and Bill Kappa at the time we were all so close and working so well together. The idea, when you look at the potential of what the arts can impact a community, it just made sense in my years at the King and then my 9 years at the Lincoln Theater that this was an opportunity to showcase the extraordinary talent of black artists in Columbus in all the various disciplines. So talking to Nanette in the museum, going from Will doing the exhibition and going around selecting pieces of arts that reflective of the Harlem Renaissance period, and then deciding that Nanette, they were going to do a book. So then I talked to Sherry Gelden at the Wexner Center, and Sherry's in the Wexner Center Black Films, in addition to another exhibit that they're going to do. But I think our theme was this. This is an opportunity for each arts organization, CATCO, CAPA, GCAC, the museum, jazz arts group, every art form, 30 total, 30. To participate in a art form that says we're going to celebrate black art. And that's whether it's true to the Harlem Renaissance or inspiration from the Harlem Renaissance. And we had those 30 organizations and 150 black artists who are now a part of this movement, and it's only going to grow. So one of the things that I thought extremely important when we look at the artists who paint and do that type of work, they had never showcased their works in the local galleries in the Short North. So one of the things, you know, thinking about is how do we get those two to come together? And by golly, we're going to have a gallery hop with those artists and those galleries in the Short North.
And that will be the focus of that particular one. When is that?
That's going to be sometime in August.
For people who aren't familiar, I mean, you've already talked about black art and art inspired by the Harlem Renaissance, but give us a little thumbnail on what that period did and what happened in New York and in Harlem.
I mean, the Harlem Renaissance really in its historic moment is the moment right after World War I. The soldiers are coming back. African-American soldiers who have fought for their country in Europe are coming back. And it coincides with the moment of the Great Migration, where many African-Americans were coming from the South for, you know, a new life in the North, better jobs, more civil rights opportunities, a better life in the North. Mm-hmm. So you get this confluence of this moment. And in New York, you see this really an explosion of creativity that runs all the way from literature through the visual arts to the performing arts. And the ripple effect that has, a lot of people just think about it as Harlem, mm-hmm. you know, because it was the black neighborhood. But in fact, it had a ripple effect across the country in other major urban centers. It reaches out. It comes across to Chicago. It gets to Columbus, Cleveland to Columbus. And I think that's really important. And in a way, what we celebrated, we're going to celebrate here in Columbus, is that continuing ripple effect over time. The actual Harlem Renaissance really ends well before World War II. It really starts to wind down with the Depression. It's fewer opportunities in the arts. The arts always have to kind of hunker down a bit during economic recessions.
Right.
But so it's an interesting that what we chose to do isn't just to do the historic moment. We're doing that ripple effect out over time that reaches to today, to the artists that we need to celebrate today.
So what has struck you in the process of curating this larger community-wide approach to this era, Larry James? What have you learned? I think to ask that.
Yeah, I think two things. And this started going back to my days at the King and then to the Lincoln, because when we started to build the Lincoln, the question was whether Columbus would embrace it, whether the majority community would come over and patronize the arts and the institution. And that's exactly happened. So when this idea came up, and you ask yourself, how do you introduce a concept to a community in a way that they appreciate the business impact it's going to have on the community, the cultural impact it's going to have, the humanitarian impact it's going to have. And I think for the artists, We did a rollout at Shadowbox with the 150 artists, and it was incredible that people said, we had no idea we had this kind of talent in Columbus. You know, literary, musical, painting, on. And you can go to the Giants of Amina Robinson and those similarly situated, but there is just a tremendous amount that this community will see. And then the question we challenged corporate Columbus to do is buy the art, showcase the art, get your employees an opportunity to appreciate. So I think the thing that I've learned is when you introduce a concept that's worthy, they will embrace it.
What about at the museum? What have you learned? I imagine that's part of the reason why you're in this business, right, Nanette, is that you learned something.
Yes, you do.
And what did you learn this time?
I think one of the things that's really is very haunting about all this is the number of artists you don't know. Artists that we're going to introduce this community to, historic artists that people aren't going to know. I mean, people are going to go, oh, I know Robert Baird and I know Jacob Lawrence. You know, I know. But there are an incredible raft of artists that people just need to be introduced to see that creativity.
Do they always see themselves as a descendant of that era?
No,
or are sometimes
no.
they surprised no, by the suggestion I that think, they participate
think,
in this?
I think I call it the diversity within the diversity.
Yes.
And what I used to say to Sherry Gelden at the Wexner Center, everything you introduce of color will not relate to America or Black America. But don't stop doing it because it expands our curiosity and it helps us grow.
It expands our notion of what that is.
Yes. I mean, when Donna and I started collecting, people said, how did you get into the arts? And like most people...
Your spouse, Donna.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. We would buy posters for $25, $50 and then pay $150 to have them framed.
I'd been there, done that.
Yes. But the arts community embraced us, and they helped us grow. They saw something in us we didn't see in ourselves. I spent 12 years on the museum board. All of that experience you bring back and you say to Columbus, what we would like to see as a result of this, Columbus should never look the same again in its various art forms. Corporate Columbus should not have segregated art only, music, and the whole nine yards. I mean, this festival and what you're going to see in the diversity of these musicians is just incredible. Let me say something else, too, that really helped us, because I think the older you get, the more success you have, the more isolated you get, the more segregated you get.
Uh-huh.
So you really need to reach out to other people that have that continuity of touching. And that's what we did. We found a marketing firm that was young, that was vibrant, that was in touch with overall community, and that helped immensely.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. We are talking about the Harlem Renaissance. It's 100 years since the Harlem Renaissance, that era, kind of an explosion of the arts, literature, performing arts, visual arts, literature back after World War One. There is a year-long celebration ongoing in the city of Columbus. My two guests were two of the instigators of that.
Yes.
Nanette Macy-Junes, executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art, and also Larry James. He's a partner at Crabb, Brown & James Law Firm, but he served 16 years as president of the King Arts Complex and 9 years with the Lincoln Theater on the board there. If you have a question or comment about the festival, about the Harlem Renaissance Festival in Columbus this year, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Once again, we're downtown, and the WOSU crew is down here all weekend. I hope you'll drop by and visit us. Who's ever here, we're going to have PBS characters live if you want to bring the kids. Again, we're down here at the corner of intersection of Rich Street and Civic Center Drive, so drop by when you come down to the festival this weekend.
And I'd like to say,
yeah, Larry James.
One of the things that my wife and I, Donna, were so committed to this last month. So those out there who didn't meet the challenge grant, we put out a challenge grant for $25,000 for the month of May. And I think we've raised about $10,000 in addition to that challenge grant. So your listeners who missed out on it, you still can make a contribution.
There's always time.
Absolutely.
Well, how much is this going to cost?
We've raised to date about $220,000.
Wow.
Our budget is somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000. I think we will get to that budget. GCAC is our financial institution that is taking care of processing the contributions and taking care of the contracts.
And that's just for the marketing and the, you know, to get everybody's word out, to get people to come, to people to know. That's really an important, people forget that that's an important part of the,
just getting it out there, getting the word out.
And then each organization is raising money and or earning money for their own, you know, projects. So It's a big thing that we're all doing.
And I want to put it into perspective. When did you start talking about this?
Well, let me think. When was the
Well,
rollout?
I think that it was 2015 that we started to talk about it. But I think it really kicked into high gear last fall. We had the formal kickoff on December 10th at the Lincoln Theater. We really had the formal rollout on April 4th of this year. So we started solicitations in April of this year.
So yeah, but the aha moment was about 3 years ago. So it's been incredible.
And does it take a lot of explaining? Has it taken a lot of explaining along the way to get people on board? Did they kind of go, Harlem Renaissance in Columbus?
No, I think that each and every arts organization got it at Hello.
Okay.
They really did. The question I think they wanted to understand is, what do we need to do? What do we need to showcase? So talking to Pizzuti Gallery, they said, well, we don't really have anything that – and we simply said, do your best to
and
bring –
do something that's authentic to you, to your organization.
Right.
I think that was Larry's brilliant insight for me is where he said, we need to let everyone do what's authentic and real to them and not try to push them into a historic box and do some kind of odd offshoot.
I guess then that makes me wonder, did Pizzuti discover something, the people there discover something about what they had that had a connection, that was inspired, that did come, you know?
I think more than anything, it will give the overall Columbus community a menu to select from. So you figure out what's your taste. And I think as a result of the magnitude of this initiative, folks will venture out to places that they've never ventured out before.
Right.
And when you got 30 organizations, there's something for everybody.
There's something for everybody here at the 2018 Columbus Arts Festival, which is where we're broadcasting from right now. There is something for everybody with the year-long celebration of the Harlem Renaissance, including an upcoming original exhibition celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Harlem Renaissance. It's entitled I, Too, Sing America, the Harlem Renaissance at 100. It's at the Columbus Museum of Art. You can check out our website at wosu.org/allsides, and there's a link there for you to learn more about that. My guests, Larry James, partner at Crabb, Brown & James Law Firm and founding and current president of the Lincoln Theater, and also Nanette Macy Junes. She is the executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art. If you have a question or comment about the Harlem Renaissance 100-year anniversary here in Columbus, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We will be right back. This is the All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. It's a special broadcast from the site of the 2018 Columbus Arts. Festival in downtown Columbus. We're talking today about the 100th anniversary of the Harlem Renaissance, that cultural revolution born out of Manhattan's Harlem neighborhood in the 1920s, just post-World War I. There's an upcoming exhibit honoring the Harlem Renaissance at the Columbus Museum of Art in October, among many, many other events. Visit the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides for more information. Still with us is the Executive Director of the Columbus Museum of Art, Nanette Macy-Junes. Hey, Nanette, thanks again for joining us. And joining us now is songwriter, recording artist, performer Renee Dion. Renee is both part of the Harlem Renaissance Project and a performer at the Arts Festival. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
What did you make of it? How, you know, Larry James just left us, but he said we usually had people at hello. Did he have you at hello when it came to participating in this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if Larry James calls...
Right,
you're gonna answer, and you're gonna say yes.
Yeah, but did you know much about it?
You know, I actually did.
Okay.
My introduction to the Harlem Renaissance, of course, was in college. Learned a lot when I went to Columbia College, but learning about the relationship of the Harlem Renaissance to Columbus, Ohio,
yeah,
just really was an eye opener for me. Learning that, you know, a musician by the name of Cannonball Adderley found Nancy Wilson right here in the Near East Side. Mm-hmm. I mean, just so much hope and so much promise in that, letting me know that, okay, well, if they were all here gracing the stage at the Lincoln Theater, then I can do it too. And I've done it.
You know, I know that things ebbed. As you mentioned, Nanette, during the Depression, like they did across the country, and I'm sure nothing got hurt worse than the arts, and certainly, you know, black arts.
But it was a great, also, opportunity. So.
Right.
Absolutely.
But there were probably paths worn between cities from the Renaissance. So when Cannonball Adderley came to Columbus, it wasn't post-World War I,
right.
But he had been was following a trail.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We call that the Chitlin' Circuit.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the artists from the Harlem Renaissance, Harlem, New York, mm-hmm. the touring artists, they were hitting places like Detroit, Columbus, you know, New York. And they were just hitting all of these different markets, going to theaters all around nationwide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going into areas that, you know, may not be... weren't popular at the time, but there was such a huge explosion of black art happening in those segregated areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's where they were embraced.
Yes.
And that's where they forged those paths. What is your role in this celebration? What are you going to do? What are you doing?
I'm just carrying on the legacy.
Yeah.
As Nanette said, it was a huge ripple that happened. Yes. And I'm a part of that ripple. Just being able to add my songs, you know, my testimony uh-huh. to the story, adding my story just to the story that has already been created. You know, when I got the call, not only from Larry, but from Marshall Shorts, I believe it was Alonzo, Bobby Ferguson, Wendy, they had all included me in on this I Too Sing America campaign. And just to be a part of that and to add, you know, my piece to the conversation, I'm humbled.
The I Too Sing America, what's that from, Nanette? Tell
from,
people that story.
It's from Langston Hughes. It's the name of a really important Langston Hughes poem that is in it, that Langston Hughes based on a Walt Whitman poem about I Hear America Singing, and this is Langston Hughes' response.
Mm-hmm.
And that the title was given to us by Will Haygood. Mm-hmm. Will thought a lot about the title for the exhibition and the celebration. And he's a writer, of course, and so he wanted that touchstone to Langston Hughes. And I think it's just, it's really, because it summarizes what we're trying to do.
You know, more and more we're starting to get the point across that Black history is
American history.
It's
all of our history.
Black
absolutely.
Arts is American art.
Arts.
It is what it is.
Absolutely.
It is. Anything original, mostly, that comes out of the United States comes from that.
Absolutely.
And that whole experience.
Absolutely.
And one of the great things about the exhibition that Will helped us organize is that it does have some of the great, you know, artists that everybody knows. But it also has this, it's organized in a way so it has different parts to it. There's a whole section on James Vandersee, the photographer, and most people will know James Vandersee. But there's both the known James Vandersee, the kind of iconic images, but then some photographs by James Vandersee that have never been printed that the family is printing for us so that we can share those. There is a collection that comes out of New York, and the man collects images, vernacular images, meaning not professional photographers, not art photographers, but all of us photographing, vernacular photographs, of African-American life. And Will went to the collection, and it's a huge collection, and he curated, or he chose from that images from this period that resonated with him. And it is very much, someone said to me, well, what exactly was Will doing with the show? And I said, well, it's not an art historian or a curator looking at the Harlem Renaissance. It's one of the most important cultural writers of the late 20th century, early 21st century, looking very personally at the way this has affected him and how that ripple effect, you know, reached to him. And it's a very personal view, and so I really love that about it. And we've included a lot of literary ephemera. There were great book covers. There were great magazines. And that's in the show, too, because that's important to Will.
It's sort of like Will Haygood, Two Sings America.
Yeah, it is Will Haygood, Two Sings America.
Did you, from the performing arts perspective, Dionne, can you tell us a little bit, Renee, can you tell us a little bit about what we can hear and see?
Well, I am heavily influenced by, you know, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald. It's kind of funny that I'm being asked to be a part of this campaign. Those artists had affected my life long ago. So to be able to carry on that legacy and borrow from their genius and add to what I do, it's amazing. So for me, for performance, it's just bringing my authentic, genuine self and remembering the people before me.
What kind of feedback are you all getting from your counterparts in other cities that are hearing about this? Because no one else is really doing it, which is kind of shocking.
We keep expecting someone else to like call us and say, hey, we're doing this. What do you say? But I mean, it's like, I think people are surprised. I think we've been given a lot of, you know, support. And I thinking about music and things that I know that I was just trying to think about other things that are coming, too. So the Dance Theater of Harlem is coming.
Yep.
To perform at the Lincoln.
Yes.
It's going to be presented by Kappa, so that's really important.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a Columbus Black Theater Festival that's running in July. So there's just a lot of different activities. I think what makes this specifically Columbus is the fact that we're all in it together.
Yes.
And that this idea of collaboration, which is something that's, when anybody comes to Columbus, they're always surprised at how we all work together. And the fact that...
I know I've lived here for 30 years, and I'm just used to it now, but I guess it is something. It's a thing.
It truly is. Yeah. It is. There are so many different pockets of Black artists here in the city. And what Marshall and Alonzo and Bobby and Wendy, what we all are doing, pulling each other in a little closer and helping us all be able to lean on each other and get this art out, not past Columbus, Ohio, you know. So it's just some amazing things happening. Collaboration is definitely happening.
I mean, when you think of 30 organizations, arts and cultural organizations, and then 150 arts, you think of all of that coming together.
That's incredible. That's,
and we just did it on our own. It wasn't like somebody said, okay, we're having this.
Right.
We did it together. So I think that's an extraordinary. And the show at the museum is big. It's got 140 works in it from 35 different museums and collectors around the country. So people are going to know about this.
I'm glad that there is that literary and journalistic piece of this, too. Of course, how could there not be with Will Haygood involved? I mean, he's a journalist as well, historian, because so much of the art and the artistry of the era was sublimated to literature. And I don't mean sublimated in a pejorative either. I mean, it you know, it didn't have the mass appeal or the mass audience, but you could find the art in those on those magazine covers,
absolutely,
in those magazines,
yes,
and that kind
those,
of thing.
That was an incredibly important part of of the that the graphic sort of identity, and the graphic identity that they've created, that World Wall Street have created for the show. Is
now
really
that there
incredible.
Is the mass appeal.
Yeah, so
yeah.
And I was thinking we're bringing people from the outside to come and celebrate with us as well. Emily Bernard has introduced us to her. She's a literary scholar, a professor, and she is coming to just wrote a book on Langston Hughes. So she's coming to lecture about Langston Hughes. So that's exciting.
What about the educational piece of it? What about the kids in the schools and that kind of a thing? How are they going to get access to this?
Oh, we got a complete complete plan for that.
Columbus
City
Schools involved?
Yes, everyone. Everyone.
Because that's, you know, I'm always
what's
shocked.
What's the next generation?
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And but how separated they can be from something like this, just like how separated they can be from Ohio State University being in their own backyard. That's kind of what I'm getting at is how do you do that? How do you introduce it to them in that way? What's different for them?
Well, I think that the good news is that all of these 30 organizations and all these artists, we work with the schools and families every day. So they're sort of already in the loop. They're already there to sort of become more deeply involved. And I think that it's those paths you talked about, those paths we talked about out of Harlem, those paths are here in Columbus to connect the cultural and arts organizations with families and children in the schools. And it's like right now, the Columbus Museum of Art is getting ready. We've already publicly announced we're doing a lab preschool with Columbus State and Childhood League. Those are the kinds of things that are already in place that make this quite easy.
Are there literal descendants? I mean, people who are, I shouldn't say literal, but people who settled here from the Chitlin Trail, from that stayed?
There was a trumpet player. And I believe his nickname was Sweets. I can't remember his full name. But I believe he was a descendant, and he also lived here.
Yeah, and came through that.
Yes.
And the Lincoln Theater, thank God for that.
Oh, my
God. It could have been gone. It could have been gone.
So glad it's resurrected in here. Yes.
Could easily have been gone.
That was a staple.
Huge.
In the Harlem Renaissance.
Yes.
Yes.
And I was going to say that figure that most people would be surprised to hear me say is connected to the Harlem Renaissance, but he was, is Elijah Pierce. Mr. Pierce came from, you know, he came up from Mississippi, and he comes in stages, but, you know, he stops different places, but he ends up here. And he's part of the Great Migration. He comes to Columbus, and he lives here. He creates his art here in the barbershop. That is one of those paths. And we've put him in the show because I think it's really important for people to know that link, that he came here and that he was part of our history.
Is there going to be a map?
Ooh.
No.
There's a map of Harlem in the book, which we should have thought of this. There could be a map.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. That's
Okay.
why we come on your show, so you can give us more ideas.
Yep. That's a great idea.
Glad you asked that question. That's always good. Well, anyways, I want to thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it, and best wishes for every success with the I Too Sing America, the Harlem Renaissance at 100, an upcoming original exhibition celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Harlem Renaissance at the Columbus Museum of Art and across the city as well. You can visit our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Thanks to Nanette Macy-Junes, Executive Director of the Columbus Museum of Art. Really appreciate it.
And that, you know, that link will take you to a great video that I believe you are in, woman.
Renee Dion, our other songwriter, great. Recording artist, performer, Renee Dion, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And hopefully you can come out and see me tomorrow. I'll be here on the Genoa Park stage at 5:45.
We'll be there.
Yes.
We are broadcasting live at the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. The WOSU booth is located near the intersection of Rich Street and Civic Center Drive, right by Bicentennial Park. For more information, WOSU.org/allsides. Thanks to the All Sides staff, assistant producer Kyle McKinnon, the All Sides interns Martin Coleman, Alexander Hovalchik, Scott Good, and Ray Brewster. Video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Could not do it without radio operations director Kevin Petrilla and senior broadcast technician Eric French. They make it all happen. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSU All Sides. Have a great weekend down here at the festival. Come by and visit us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.